Sunday the 8th of January 2023, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Turn Around. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 12. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3. Verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And this is the word of the Lord.
Well, folks, good morning. How are we all? It's great to have some good worship, isn't it? I was, just as we were worshipping there at the end, you know the river that flows out from the temple? I just saw the river flowing out through the middle of us here and going on out into the town as we're going to just raise up and support our town so much better in the coming years. Just be fantastic. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Just turn to somebody and say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Quick show of hands. Who here is very glad to see the back of 2022 and you're hoping for far better things in 2023? Come on. Lord, we're right there. 2022 was a strange year, wasn't it? I Googled the things that happened. If you Google what happened in 2022, you come up with all these lists and they all try to outdo themselves. So you get the top 10 things, then you get the top 11 things, the top 15 things. Anyway, one of them, one of the first things I came up with on a website giving the top 10 things in 2022, talking about the UK, says this: the country whose empire once spanned the globe had three prime ministers in just 2 months and lost the world's longest reigning monarch. Wow. It was an incredible year, wasn't it? We lost the greatest footballer too, Pelé. Not all bad for the UK in terms of government. I understand the government in Pakistan is in a worse state than ours. But then if you elect a cricketer to be your prime minister, it's never going to go well, can it? Think of Freddie Flintoff running our government. How would that go? And actually, we might give him a chance, mightn't we? Yeah, I was thinking that. Can you imagine? So Russia invading Ukraine, they get banned from the Olympics. COVID eases. COVID eases. Christine coughing. That's not COVID, though, is it? COVID eases. That led to freedom of movement. We're all allowed to go back out and freedom of movement. Glastonbury at £280 a ticket, mark you. First in-person festival happened since 2019. Over 200,000 people went. That farmer is making a few quid, isn't he? We would love a bit of land like that. And all of this lifting of the restriction means that we're all catching COVID again, doesn't it? That's what it seems to be. I don't know. Inflation soars. Climate change intensifies. Record-breaking heat waves in the Europe. Fires in America. Floods and all sorts in Asia. World population, it's 8 billion. All of this in 2022. Elon Musk takes over Twitter. Argentina win the World Cup. I thought the Lionesses won the World Cup. A rare pigeon, not seen for 140 years, gets captured on film in 2022. That's the kind of headline we need, isn't it? There's been a major breakthrough in Alzheimer research. Another great thing. We come second in the Eurovision Song Contest. Normally we come last. Life, highs and lows. Some good things, some bad things. And life is like that, isn't it? One of my favourite jokes is about the vicar who's having a faith healing service. And they're calling down the Holy Spirit. And then he says, does anybody want any prayer for anything? Little George comes up, teenager. One of the teenagers comes up. He says, I'd love for you to pray for my hearing. And the vicar says, certainly, George. He said, puts his hands over his ears. Prays a beautiful, wonderful prayer of healing on it. Takes his hands away. He says, now, George, he says, how's your hearing? And George looks at him and says, in fairness, vicar, I'm not quite sure. I don't go to court until next week. Life is mad, isn't it? Life is mad. The world is mad. The world out there is mad. But let me tell you, the world in here is mad too. Why? Because all of life is fallen. Not just the bits out of there. The bits inside us as well are fallen. And just like 2022 has had some good bits and some bad bits, in 2022, I can tell you, you've had some good bits. But you've also had some bad bits. Why? Because we live in this fallen world. So we all did some really great things. You will have done some really great things. There's somebody at the door. Let them in. You will have done some really great things in 2022. But you will also have done some things that you wish you hadn't done. And that you knew you shouldn't be doing. You will have said some cracking things in 22. You will have given some wisdom to some friends or said some beautiful things to the family. But you will also have said some things that you regret. Fear not. New year, new sermon series, new style. Folks, we're looking at Matthew's gospel this year. We're going to be picking out bits of it because it's a huge book. But we're starting off in this chapter, chapter 3. Chapters 1 and 2, Christmas. Now we're in January. And it all starts with John saying, I baptize you with the water of repentance. The water of repentance. But one will come after me, Emmanuel, God with us, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of repentance. New year. New chances. Let's not live this year like we did last year. Let's live 2023 differently. Better. Let's be made new in Christ together as a people of God. And John the Baptist is one of the fascinating characters in the New Testament. Of course, himself part of the Christmas story. You remember Zechariah and Elizabeth and that miraculous birth. And it's all tied up with Mary's pregnancy and the birth of Jesus. And in that same Christmas reading from Luke, we're told that John's call is to be a forerunner to Jesus, a forerunner to Jesus. And he starts with the words, repent. He could have started with anything, couldn't he? If he's talking about Jesus, he could have said, hey guys, you want to be at the wedding next week because there is going to be some good wine there. Or he could have said, take this guy fishing and you will fill your nets, you will make a mint, you will never be poor again. Or he could have said, take this guy fishing, you will not need a seasickness tablet because he is going to calm the waves. But he didn't start with any of that. Could have started anywhere in Jesus' ministry and life. He started with repent. Repent. Some people think that repentance is mostly about feelings, especially feeling sorry for all the things that we've done wrong. And in part, of course, that is true. If we don't feel sorry for what we've done, then we're never going to say sorry. It's what leads us to say a confession. But to repent is much better described by its original Greek, metanoia, turn around. Go in a different direction. It's an action word. John is telling his listeners and us to have a change of mind, to live life differently. Not merely to feel sorry for what we've done or what we've said. This is about a change in what we do and how we do it. New life, better life. Not just simply being sorry for past mistakes. Folks, three things very quickly about starting off this year on the right foot, and confession helps us to do that. Confessing our bad bits. Number one, confession leaves something behind. Confession leaves something behind. Anyone here old enough to remember Asterix the Gaul? Oh, a few cheers. I thought I was just the old git at the front. A few of you remember. For those of you who don't remember, fascinating, fascinating story with fascinating characters. Druid Getafix. I'm not even joking. That is his name. Druid Getafix. And he is the one in this village that prepares magic potions at Getafix. And the magic potion he prepares, the best one he's got, makes the whole village really strong and indestructible. And then, I've lost his name. Why do they need to be strong? They need to be strong because they're against the Roman army. Christmas Bonus. Christmas Bonus is in charge of the Roman army in this part of the world. France, we're in France. He's in charge of this part of the world. But he doesn't want to be only in charge of this part of the world. He wants to be in charge of the whole Roman army. He wants to be Julius Caesar. And so, what he does is he captures Getafix. And his idea is to get this magic potion off of Getafix, and then he'll become the conqueror, and la-di-da. But, and I kid you not again, Marcus Gin and Tonicus, I kid you not, gets wind of the plans, and it all goes wrong. Anyway, it's a great story. In the story, for those who remember it, was the old, big old boy, Obelix, not the restaurant up the Shard, Obelix, and he goes round, walks around like this. He's got a big boulder on his back, huge, huge rock, and he is the strongest. Why is he the strongest? He fell in the cauldron. Did you know that, Bob?
Yes, I did.
He fell in the cauldron of the magic potion. And he drank and drank and drank, and now he's so. And now he's not allowed to drink the potion again because he's so strong. My point, which might have got lost somewhere in all of that, is that Obelix is always, always carrying this whacking great stone on his back. Always carrying it on his back. And it makes him slow and it makes him fat, for which everybody takes the mick out of him for. Folks, we can be like that. We can be like that. Things that we do wrong, weighing us down, shame and guilt and all of that. Some time back, I was visiting somebody, a lady. We were having a cup of tea, having a chat. It was all going very nice. We were just a pastoral visit. And then the conversation got deeper. And then the conversation got deeper. Then she burst into tears. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "All of this reminds me of a time." And she went back 40-odd years to when she had fallen out with her best friend at school because she said something nasty to her. And I'm thinking, really? But this was real to her. This was real to her. I mean, anybody here over the age of 50 still in contact with your school friend? Okay, how many are you in contact with? One, maybe two. Yeah, hundreds. We don't, do we? Because life moves on. With the best intention in the world, I had some fantastic mates at school. I don't speak to any of them now. Life moves on. My life moves on, their life moves on. This lady's life should have moved on, but it hadn't. I bet her friend at school's life had moved on. I bet she never gave it a second thought what this friend had said to her 40 or 50 years ago. But this woman couldn't believe what a bad person she was, how horrible she had been, and the hurt that she had caused. And so we spoke around it, and we ended up praying together a prayer of confession. And I said to her what I'm saying to you today. Confession leaves something behind. Don't carry it. She had been carrying this sin around like Obelix carrying these large stones. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And by that he means freedom. Not to be weighed down by guilt and shame. His blood was shed on the cross so that you can walk free from sin. Hallelujah and amen. Confession isn't something we have to do in order for God to love us. He loves us anyway, whether we acknowledge that or not. Confession helps us to come before God. It describes what coming to God is like. David Guzik, he's a pastor in Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, he said this, if you're in New York and I tell you to come to Los Angeles, I don't have to say to you, leave New York. If you don't leave New York, you'll never get to Los Angeles. He says, we can't come to the kingdom of heaven unless we walk away from our life of sin behind us. And folks, it's the cross of Jesus that enables us to do that, to leave it behind. Jesus didn't go to the cross for you to carry your sin around with you for the rest of your life, to feel guilty and shameful. His blood paid the price for you. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of the cross. Confession leaves something behind. Number two, confession is the first word, or at least it should be the first word. Going right back to Adam and Eve, we find the human inability to stop the rot and to say sorry, don't we? They couldn't say sorry to each other. They couldn't say sorry to God. Excuses trip off their tongues like water over a waterfall. Blame is spread around like butter, but neither of them say sorry. The apple was on the tree. It's no longer on the tree. What's happened? Not a murmur. Not a murmur. They just self-vindicate. And self-vindication is lovely, isn't it? Something goes wrong. Hurt is caused. The old saying, it takes two to tango. It doesn't get wheeled out for fun. But we don't like it takes two to tango, do we? So we lie in the bath thinking of all the reasons why the other person is the one to blame. Why it hasn't taken two to tango? Because we're innocent. Or is that just me? I love it. I am the best behaved person in the world. I never say anything wrong and I never do anything wrong when I'm reliving life in the bath. But the trouble is, at some point, I've got to get out of the bath and get back into the real world, and so do you. A wonderful thing to do is to search the word repent in the Bible. Where does it get used? Who uses it? When does it get used? And here today, just had Christmas, got all of that out of the way. What's the first thing that actually gets said to us? Repent. Matthew's Gospel, first time we meet John the Baptist, repent and live a new life. First words of Jesus, so one is going to come, he's going to baptize, baptizes Jesus, comes out of the water, turn the page, chapter 4, Jesus gets sent off into the wilderness, gets tempted. When he comes back, showing that he can overcome temptation and he can help us overcome temptation, it then says in chapter 4, Jesus starts to preach, verse 17, verbatim, I've got it here. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus sends the 12 out, the first time, the very first time that the church that he's gathered gets sent out, what do they say? Mark 6, verse 12, verbatim, they went out and preached that people should repent. What was the first thing that Jesus said to the disciples when after he had risen from the dead? And he meets them in Jerusalem. He's reminding them of everything that's happened. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And you are the witnesses of this. Peter's first sermon in Acts 2:38. The church's very first sermon. Repent. Paul, when he goes out on his very first missionary journey, what does he say? Repent, 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 repent. Why? Why? Folks, because it prepares us for the rest. It prepares us for the rest. I bet you've done this. We've certainly done this. I've done it recently as well. I wonder how many people here have cleared out your freezer to defrost it. How many people have done that? Cleared out your freezer to defrost it. You're horrified, aren't you? You look at the things that are coming out. Lollipops dated 2015. I jest you not. Three sausages in a bag because you had opened a packet of sausages, but you hadn't used them all, so you put the three in the bag, they've wiggled their way down to the bottom of the freezer, and they have been there who knows how many years. Who knows how many years. If you find anything in date, you have done very, very well. By the time you finish, the freezer is all but empty. You might starve to death, but you will not die of salmonella poisoning. What do you do next? What do you do next? You go up good maze to Tesco's, don't you? And you buy actually things that are good. You buy good food that you can eat. You restock. You fill. You get rid of the old stuff that's dreadful. And you fill it with good stuff. Folks, that is repentance. It's the work that prepares us for good things. Someone once said, we empty ourselves in order to have room for Jesus. I love that. I love that. Our new verse for the year, our verse for the year in this year, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I didn't know Dion was going to get up and speak today. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see the Lord is good. She knows the Lord is good because she has tasted and seen. She has made room for Jesus. For him to come in with his help and his love and his comfort and his healing and his guidance. Folks, confession leaves something behind. And then confession is the first word to clear us out so that we've got room for God's goodness. And lastly, for I must finish, confession is urgent. Confession is urgent. And I've already said that we can get the wrong idea about confession and sin and all of that. John said, the kingdom of heaven is near. That's his message. What he's saying is, the kingdom of God is here now. His message wasn't, you're a sinner, you better repent, you're dreadful. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what John the Baptist was saying. John's message was, the Messiah, the King of heaven, is coming, and so get yourself ready. Prepare yourself now. Think of the parables of Jesus, the bridesmaids with their lamps burning. 10 of them, only 5 have prepared. They have their wicks trimmed. They've been down at B&Q. They bought some more oil. Why? Why is that important? Because the groom is coming. Because the groom is coming. And they want to be ready when he comes. The prodigal son, come to your senses. Come home. Don't miss out. Don't sit up here on the hillside dreaming of what life could be like. Come and enjoy the embrace of your father. And the fattened calf that he's got waiting for you. Don't store away in barns in this world. Prepare yourself for the world to come, the kingdom of God, because there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, this life will pass away. Folks, 3 very simple but very important things. Confession leaves something behind. Whatever you do, don't be held back by sin and guilt. None of us have lived a good life back there. Let's vow to live a better life going forward. Confession is an emptying out so that we can receive good things from God. He longs to bless us. He longs to give us good things. He longs to be at work in our life like he's at work in Dion's life. Longs to do that. Confession clears us out and makes room for that. And lastly, confession is urgent because the King is coming. And we want to be ready for him, don't we? When he gets here. Folks, we had a confession, and it's just how God works. Kate had a confession, but in all that was happening, I've got a confession. And it's going to come up on the board. Oh, here it comes. It's going to come up on the board. And if you want to start a new life, new world, 2023, on the right foot, then let's say this confession together. Father in heaven, we come before you to confess our sin. We confess that we have turned the page in our calendar, but still haven't fully turned our hearts to you. We confess that we too often seek fulfillment in human potential, rather than in your peace, guidance, and the new life you offer to us. We confess that we would rather chart our own course than submit to your loving design. Gracious God, help us to remember that true life is found only in you. Give us courage to follow the radical path of Jesus in this new year. Let us be lights that reflect your love and truth to our friends and neighbours, so that they might know that the power of sin has been broken. Let this be the year we seek your glory more than our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we are so grateful that you sent Jesus, not only to be our model for life and for living, but to die for our sins, to nail them on the cross, that they would no longer be remembered, and that you would raise us as your holy people, a royal priesthood, to your glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen.